The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Guys, welcome back to Wide Awake News Radio. I'm Charlie McGrath, your host. We continue on the 6th day of September, Thursday, with the producer of one of my favorite alternative media, personalities. I don't like to use that word, but folks here in alternative media, Mitch Santel. Now, Mitch is, like I said, he's a producer for Vinnie Eastwood's program, and I was just going to ask him before we went live where him and I have been on the air together, because I know we have, but don't answer that yet, Mitch, because I want to say, guys, we have the Justin TV. We have about 65 people, I think, in the chat room. We have about 26 or 30-ish on Justin TV. For those of you who are sending me the messages about get the Justin TV back up and running, I hope you're in the room. If you're listening and not in the Justin TV feed, get in there, and we'll let you watch me do this part of the program. And I want to make this announcement kind of guarded. I know that the studio is working on a way to do this through not only audio but a video feed as well. And there'll be more to come on that. They're working on getting the proper equipment set up so that we can broadcast not only audio but video feed in. And Mitch, I think Vinny does that now, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's doing both audio and video sort of at the same time, and then we're doing the show live, and then we're archiving it, putting it on YouTube, so it's a quite full day here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Busy, busy, busy.
Well, what do you broadcast, and this is just now personal, for my personal edification, what are you broadcasting the video feed? Is that over Skype, or, I mean, over Justin TV, or live stream, or what?
We just do the whole thing basically on Skype, and we just do it broadband on Skype, and we record it, and we capture it, and then after the show we edit it.
Got it.
And then for our subscribers, we take all the ads out, and then for everyone else, we give it away free so they can get the information.
I got it. Okay, that makes sense. The live program is just audio, right?
It's just audio right now. Okay. We'll eventually have video, but for right now, it's really about the audio, because remember, we're about 12,000 miles south of you.
Well, that's right. Maybe I should probably let folks know. Mitch Santel, of course, he's producer for Vinnie Eastwood's program, but they are in New Zealand, and he was talking to me before we went on the air about the first thing he said was, Charlie, they're doing the exact same thing in New Zealand as they're doing here, and it's not a surprise. But Mitch, why don't you go ahead and tell us, what the parallels are and the amazing coincidences that we see in Europe and the United States and New Zealand.
Well, it's so interesting. There have been many times over the last year that my wife actually called me delusional, And I said, honey, why are you calling me delusional? And I said, we came to New Zealand. We thought we could hit the restart button on our life, that everything that was going on in the States absolutely would never come here. You know, they did Lord of the Rings here. But in the last 2 months, I've watched, Charlie, more things come down. They have this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is basically like NAFTA.
Right.
We have 35% of the radio.
Mitch, do we lose you?
We've got the water is fluoridated in all the cities here.
Wait, just like go back to the where you were talking about the New Zealand NAFTA, because we lost you for just like 3 seconds there, and I want to make sure we get all that in.
Yeah, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is basically an agreement that is just like NAFTA, and it's going to further restrict the independence and sovereignty of New Zealand. And so it's just like NAFTA. There is no difference. In fact, in some ways, it's even more sinister. So it's not a cool thing.
And New Zealand is what, 3 million people?
New Zealand is about 4.2 million people. Supposedly, it's a nuclear-free country. But this is the thing that just blew my mind. Are you ready? Vinny would have a drum roll if he was on right now. New Zealand, as of 8 weeks ago, Charlie, is now part of NATO.
Oh, well, then you're a nuclear power all of a sudden, or at least you're allied with.
John Key, the smiling assassin, who was formerly the head derivatives manager for Merrill Lynch in both New York and in London, signed New Zealand under NATO. So
welcome to the Brotherhood.
Oh, thank you. I'm
so now when we go and we provide air cover to go butcher Assad, so we can put it up on YouTube. Oh, no, excuse me, we won't do it. Freedom fighting rebels that are well funded, miraculously in this destitute nation. Freedom fighting rebels will butcher him, and then they'll put the video up on YouTube. And then together, us being partners in NATO, we can take credit for bringing another democracy to that region of the world.
That's correct. And here's the other bizarre thing, too, that's happened in New Zealand. The Kiwis are slowly starting to wake up because, you see, now we have the New Zealand Army in Afghanistan guarding all the heroin and poppy fields, just like the U.S. troops. And
last week there was a coalition green on blue attack where 6 Aussie soldiers were killed. Has any New Zealand soldiers come under fire, under attack?
Same thing. 2 weeks ago we had 2 New Zealand soldiers killed, and then the week before that, 2 New Zealand soldiers killed, and then the week before that, 1 New Zealand soldier killed. And so
the 4.2 million people, are they waking up, or are they like, here, you know, we're watching, New Zealand's Got Talent?
Well, it's New Zealand's Got Talent because right now, as an example, in the year 2013, they are going to turn off the analog television system in New Zealand. Isn't that interesting?
And it's only going to be digital. You're going to have all digital.
Same thing. The other thing that absolutely blows my mind, for those of you who have seen, you know, why are they spraying us, right?
Right.
I came to New Zealand on vacation in 2006, moved here in 2007, and starting in June of 2008, Charlie, guess what they started doing here, man?
Are you serious? They're spraying, all of a sudden you have grid work in your sky?
Every day. It's like, what is going on? And so after the show, I'd be happy to send you pictures of the clouds in 2007. Then I can show you the same areas in 2008. And they're geoengineering like crazy. It's unbelievable.
What is the, I mean, your guys' program, the Vinnie Eastwood program, is, you know, from talking to Vinny, it was the first alternative media outlet in New Zealand, and I think you guys are doing fantastic work, and you're getting a great following. But I mean, you're saying that the people of New Zealand and the Americans that I know that have went to New Zealand, I actually know two, you know, so it's not a big number or anything, but you know, they were both of them were touting the notion. They both married New Zealanders because apparently that's about the only way you could get into that country. They don't want anybody else. But it was freedom-loving, independent-minded, you know, true entrepreneurial spirit, you know, kind of what the United States used to be. And, I mean, so there's not more of an outrage down there to this?
Well, it's so interesting because they're doing it really quietly. And let me give you a couple of specific examples. In New Zealand, they turned Auckland into a super city. And it's actually, for those of you who follow Agenda 21, it's actually an Agenda 21 city.
Hold tight, Mitch. You know what? We'll start there. Agenda 21 city, Auckland. Auckland, New Zealand, of course. We'll start right that with that after this first break of the second hour. Guys, hang tight. We're going to be back with Mitch, the producer of the Vinny Eastwood program in 3.5 minutes. Guys, welcome back to Wide Awake News Radio. I'm Charlie McGrath. We are joined in this second hour, of course, by Mitch Santel. He's the producer for the Vinny Eastwood program and a freedom fighter. I'm calling you what you are, Mitch. You're a freedom fighter. I didn't ask your background at the beginning. You are from the States originally, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The joke in our family is that we immigrate to a new country every 100 years, whether we want to or not. So,
wait a minute, were you chased to New Zealand?
Well, no. I'm Russian, Bulgarian, Romanian, and Polish, and my family originally immigrated in 1899 from Poland, and then my great-uncle, my grandfather, became a directing team. So between 1914 and 1946, they directed over 96 films in Hollywood, and they started the careers of David Niven and Red Skelton, and Marion Davies was my dad's godmother.
Wow.
So we're old Hollywood, but I'd be in that business, but all my contacts are dead, so I'm in syndicated radio instead.
Well, at least you had a fallback plan, and that paid out. But you know what? I mean, that's typical. I mean, my heritage, you know, McGrath is the last name, so obviously there's Irish in there, but a lot of, I guess, Eastern European, Croatia, Prapopovic was my... my great-grandfather's name, and he changed it to Prop when he came over here.
Wow, now that's interesting, because our name was Ginyahovsky, and then it was changed to Samuelson, and then when my great-uncle went to work for 20th Century Fox, they changed it to Santel, so it's a made-up name.
That is interesting. Yeah, Prapopovich was shortened to Prop.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. So what I wanted to do, Charlie, if it's okay, is where we went to break, we were talking about Auckland being an Agenda 21 city.
Right.
And really wanted to dive into that, if that's okay with you.
Well, give us a minute or two of what Agenda 21 is, just for those who might not know.
Well, basically, Agenda 21 is basically a United Nations program that takes away our individual sovereignty. And it's basically a plan for the 21st century that means basically you won't have any personal property rights. You won't be able to grow your own food. Everything will be turned into a corporatocracy. For those who have followed the Supreme Court decision in 2010, it's kind of interesting, and Google was involved in this decision, believe it or not, where they said that corporations actually have a soul, that they're actually a person. So I always tell Vinny and everyone that I know, since individuals no longer have any sovereign rights, and since America was a constitutional republic, or as Benjamin Franklin once said, you know, it's a constitutional republic, keep it if you can, it's basically from New Zealand, we look at the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the whole thing is already being over, and Auckland is now a super city. It was turned into a super city during the Rugby World Cup. We had a member of Parliament, Rodney Hyde, who's a nice man, by the way, got into a lot of trouble over expense accounts and taking his girlfriend to Hawaii. But while that was the friend story, and while everyone was getting drunk on Heineken and going to the rugby games, basically they were passing all these laws for the super city. So, and the super city in Auckland, it actually started in Hamilton, New Zealand, which is 2 hours south of here, which is sort of the farm country of New Zealand. But it's the same thing, Charlie. It's a corporatocracy where everything is basically being combined. So it's evil stuff.
It is evil stuff, and it's amazing. And Eric and I were talking in the first hour that, you know, here in the U.S. we have this theater going on with the conventions, of which, you know, you're an American, so you know what that's all about. But and they're talking about topics that are, you know, we're playing the game. Look, you can go right now on YouTube, and you can put in Bill Clinton. And you can put in Paul Ryan. Put those names together, and then just hit enter. And the first thing that'll probably pop up is a video where they're chums. They're talking about, you know, the debt deal, and we got to figure out something on the debt thing. But it's supposed to be off camera. It's just a whisper between the two. It, yet last night, I don't know if you stomached it through the convention last night. I did, only because I knew I'd want to talk about it today when Bill Clinton up there batting for the blue team. Talking about, you know, this, the evil Republicans, this, and then they showed the doe-eyed members of the DNC, or at least the folks that went to the Coliseum down there in order to participate in this doe-eyed, shaking the head, you know, it was like a Brave New World, like reading a Brave New World, and these people are just sitting there and buying into it and sucking it all in. You know, they're talking about the jobs created and how we rescued this from oblivion. And the same exact thing happened on the red side a week earlier. We have a divided nation, and everybody's going to be angry at the wrong person. We got the break here already? I hear music. Mitch, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not hearing any music.
Okay, sorry. I thought I heard.
No.
I'm hearing.
No worries. Basically, what you have is you have America being turned into a police state, and you need to know my observation from New Zealand. And this is not original, because I've been following the work of Jordan Maxwell for many, many years. Start to look at the Democratic and Republican Party as being different wings of the same team, and see the Democratic Party as a Marxist socialist party, and see the Republican Party as a neo-Nazi party.
Yeah.
And if you start to view it in that way, it'll help you wake up.
In my humble opinion, that would be a very true representation, what you just said there. We're going to be back with Mitch Santel and more Wide Awake News Radio. 3.5 minutes. Hang tight. Welcome back to Wide Awake News Radio. I'm Charlie McGrath. Mitch Santel is our guest for this second hour. And those of you watching on Justin TV, you heard a little bit about what Mitch is working on. And it's fascinating stuff. And I want to get into it right now, because we only have two segments left, about 20 minutes, 22 minutes or so of talk time. I also want to give out your blog here. What the heck? Give me the web address again for your blog.
AfterAmerica.wordpress.com.
So, AfterAmerica.wordpress.com. I'll put this link into chat. Check this blog out. How often are you posting material up there?
Every day. Every day.
All right. So, you guys want to check this out, because Mitch is, well, you know what, I'll turn it over to you. I mean, I want to hear about this documentary, though, so make sure we talk about that before the end of the program, but go ahead.
Yeah, basically, because my family's been in the film business since 1914, I started noticing after I left America that everything that's happening in America now has been shown in films. So I've got a documentary in pre-production right now called After America, and it's basically how Hollywood for the last 40 years has been telling us in plain view what's going on. So right now, Charlie, for your audience, I'm going to give at least 5 films, okay?
Yeah.
Where they can go and watch short little clips. And then they'll be able to say, wow, we've already heard this. It's like predictive programming, you know, where where you see something and then you say, I've seen that before. There is a scene. Robert Redford and Cliff Robertson did a film in the 1970s called 3 Days of the Condor. And at the end of the film, during the last 4 minutes of the film, you hear Robert Redford ask Cliff Robertson, is America going to go into the Middle East and start a war over oil? And Cliff Robertson says, no, we're not. It's all play. It's all war games. And Robert Redford says, you're one of the bad guys. And Cliff Robertson says, no, I'm not. He says, listen, this film came out in the 70s, Charlie. So he says, what are you going to do in 15 or 20 years when people can't get petrol? They can't get food or water. And they have no housing. Who's going to get it for them? We got to get it for them. So go watch the last scene in 3 Days of the Condor.
Last scene, 3 Days of the Condor. Got it.
Yep. Go watch the film Enemy of the State, because since 1998, they've been trying to pass the Patriot Act.
Wait a minute. Enemy of the State, Will Smith, Gene Hackman,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a scene near the end of the film where he's doing a search on this politician who was – remember, the film came out in 1998. The politician was born on September 11th, 1940. Isn't that interesting?
That is.
And then they talk about how the NSA works and how the CIA works and how they've been doing surveillance for literally the last 40 years. Okay? Go look at the film from the early 1970s called Colossus, the Forbin Project. It's about using computers to run the U.S. military. It's called the Forbin Project. Go watch it.
Colossus,
go watch the
Forbin.
Film. Yep. Go watch the film from 1972, A Dramata Strain, which is how this virus takes over a town in Arizona and everybody's dead. And isn't it interesting how they had A Dramata Strain, and then they had another film that came out with Will Smith called I Am Legend, right?
Right.
He plays a man living in New York, and because of a pandemic, he's the only one there with his dog.
Right.
Okay? So they show you, and then there was a time for
you know, wait,
years.
I'm going to stop you, because on the Will Smith movie, I Am Legend, as soon as we started talking about this, I wrote down I Am Legend, because my son and I were rewatching that program on the 3rd, and of course, doing this every night and talking to people like you, I look for symbolism and meaning in everything. I watch the Olympic ceremonies and I try to see the New World Order meaning, or at least the symbolism, in all these events. And in I Am Legend, in I Am Legend, in one of the scenes where he was trying to see what rat was affected in a positive way by the serums he was working on, the date he gave when he was streaming live to record it, apparently for nobody, because he believed he was the only person left, but he recorded it, and the date he gave was September 5th, yesterday, 2012. And so my son turns to me and says, you think there's going to be some big event on September 5th? You know, because it was in the movie, September 5th, 2012. I said, I don't know.
Right.
I guess we're going to find out. But, yeah, go ahead.
I got 2 more for you that will blow your mind, okay?
Okay.
The film with Nicolas Cage called The Knowing.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's
there you
a
go.
Psychic, and he uses numerology. And in the film, they talk about an oil event, an explosion in the Gulf of Mexico. that leads to the worst oil spill in the history of the United States.
And they show rig burning. They show a rig burning just like it did. Yeah, I remember that.
So everything we've seen. Now, the ultimate film that has now become a cult hit and has been something I've been telling people to watch since 2001.
Not
and
the road,
film
I hope.
That, what?
Not The Road, I hope, because that was depressing.
No, that there's a film that I can't watch without just, you know, the tears rolling down my face and I just choke up, and so I don't watch it too often. It's The Postman with Kevin Costner.
Okay.
And it's the scene where the guy who's his nemesis, who's the former
copy machine repairman, yeah,
says, you know, the United States does not exist anymore, and he says, who's responsible for that? And he burns the American flag. And if you start to look at these scripts, and if you start to look at why do they make the films they make, if you want to know the ultimate propaganda film, go watch Wag the Dog and listen to the beginning dialogue where Robert De Niro says, he explains about how during the Iraq war they had this bomb and they kept showing this bomb going down the chimney. And he says, well, was that real or was that a studio? And he says, well, how do we know? How do we know? So Dustin Hoffman says, so let me get this straight. You want me to produce your war. So remember, Vietnam ended because there was footage coming out by the mainstream media into America. And people fought back. And you have to remember that since 2001, because of the Telecommunications Act in 1996, signed into law by Bill Clinton, we've gone from 53 media companies down into
six.
Four or five.
Yeah.
Is it six?
Okay, six control about 90% of the news that we get to that's disseminated to the people. And I want to ask you this. We have about a minute before this last break. First of all, Centerville in the chat room found the last scene of 3 Days of the Condor. So I'll play that on the backside of this break. It's a minute, 37 seconds long, so we don't have time to do it now. I'll play that clip when we come back. But also, Ohio Prepper, asked, why would the Illuminati give these signals in these movies? And that's a good question.
Oh, I have the answer for that. Do you want it now or do you want it after the break?
Start it now, and if we can't get through it all, we'll continue.
Okay, basically, the New World Order, the Illuminati, their charter is that they have to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it, and then they give you a period of time to see if you're going to stand up or not.
And that's out of their charter.
That's out of their charter, that they have to tell you what they're going to do, yes.
Interesting stuff. All right, when we come back, we're going to play the last scene of 3 Days of the Condor and listen to this example that Mitch has told us about. We'll be right back. 3.5 minutes. Hang tight.
Think about that.
That's something to think about. Guys, we're back with Mitch Santel. Those of you watching on Justin TV, we were going over movies that have symbolism, at least if you believe the New World Order is, or these elite are broadcasting what they're going to do. And I was talking about The Road. If anybody knows what was the event that caused the calamity in the movie The Road, put it into the chat, because I think I've watched it twice now, and I don't think they ever gave what the calamity was, what brought the world to the dark place that it was in. It only showed some, like a radio broadcast or television broadcast of an emergency broadcast network, and then he fills up a bathtub, and then they all go into this hellish world of random earthquakes, all the plant life is dead, and, you know, this horrible, horrible post-apocalyptic type scenario. So if anybody knows what was the reason for it, put it that in the chat room. But then, Mitch, you were talking about the day after tomorrow, I didn't realize that was an Art Bell.
That was
book.
Art Bell's original book. Yeah, Art Bell's original book was called The Quickening and was all about how the weather was going to go pear-shaped and was going to go crazy. And they turned The Quickening into a movie called The Day After Tomorrow.
Did they take that from him or did he get acknowledgement for it?
I don't know if they took it from him or not, but I remember he used to talk about it before George Norrie took over his show. So, yeah.
Well, go ahead. Yeah,
so with all these films, it's just that they just show it in the movies.
You drew a parallel between The Day After Tomorrow and what we're seeing now.
Oh, well, The Day After Tomorrow, go rent The Day After Tomorrow at your local video store, get it on Netflix or wherever you can get it, and then look at what's going on with the weather in the United States. It's absolutely out of control. I mean, the swarm of earthquakes that happened in California, the amount of tornadoes, the amount of, in New Zealand, I'll give an example. In 2010, we had one of the warmest summers that we've ever had in New Zealand. And they said, well, we have kind of an El Nino going on in New Zealand, and it's going to be this way for another 3 to 5 years. Then the next year, which was then 2011, last year, we had the coldest summer we'd ever had, and we had mainly rain last summer. So
crazy.
There's so much weather control that's going on. There's
no doubt about it. We've been talking a lot about it on the program lately.
Were you going to play the clip?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to do that. And we do have a caller from Washington. And caller, we're going to go to you, but let me play this clip. It's only a minute long, but this is the final scene of 3 days of the Condor. And let me get this set up so I can play this clip. And here we go.
Just look around. They've got it. That's where they ship from. They've got all of it.
What? What did you do?
I told them a story.
You play games?
I told them the story.
Oh, you. You poor dumb son of a bitch. You've done more damage than you know.
I hope so.
About to be a very lonely man. It didn't have to end this way.
Of course it did.
Hey, Turner. How do you know they'll print it? You can take a walk. But how far if they don't print it?
They'll print it.
How do you know?
Okay, well, Charlie,
that's a great clip, but it was 10 lines before that.
Time we got halfway through that we were missing the...
basically, they start going and talking about the Middle East, about Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon, and all that stuff, and they just lay out country after country that the U.S. is going to go in and take over the oil supply.
I'm going to be searching tonight now. Senator, if you find that scene, dump it in there. We do have a call, and I'm reading the chat now. Charlie needs to take more calls. And you're right, guys, I do, but we usually get so busy that sometimes I forget to check that I have calls on the line. So let's go to Richard from Washington. Richard, thanks for calling. I appreciate your patience.
Yeah, good afternoon. And if you're into recent movies, you can go to The Bourne Legacy. That shows you just how all-pervasive their scrutiny of you is.
I didn't see that yet. Give us a taste of what you're talking about.
Well, it's a guy that's supposedly an insider. He's a assassin for them. He knows all the operation, but they still, even though he knows everything, they track him down because the satellites and the chips and the cameras on every corner. I mean, they know exactly where he is most of the movie. He just has to stay one step ahead of them. And it's kind of a battle of wits. But it really shows you, just like Enemies of the State, how all-pervasive the surveillance is.
Yeah, but, I haven't seen that movie.
But why I called is because you asked why they had to tell you what they were doing.
Yes.
When this country went bankrupt in 1933, they redesigned the War Powers Act so that we were the enemy and the military was being used against us. And I read this before, the Garcia Brief. It's about a 72-page paper by a legal paralegal, I think, is what he was. And he wanted information that would be standing up in court. And a quote from that on page 11, these manuals have been designed to outline the procedures for the takeover of the American people through the control of the economy and what is known as social engineering. And that's from the United Nations document, The Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Social engineering is a type of biological warfare that has been continuously implemented upon the American public since 1954 for the sole purpose of conditioning and maintaining voluntary consent. That's why they have to do it. If you see this stuff and you don't do anything like was pointed out by Mitch, you voluntarily consent for it and you are subject to it. And that's what is exactly the way they play it. So they let you know everything that's going to happen. And when there's no, like Mitch says, protest or rebellion, they know that you've agreed to it. And you just have to follow along at that point.
Or won't have any protest to it. Go ahead.
Well, you know what's interesting, Richard? In New Zealand, the people that are really awake here believe that the United States currently, in 2012, what are we in, September?
Yep.
A lot of New Zealanders think that the U.S. is already under soft martial law right now.
Oh, it's been under martial law since the Civil War. You actually check every time Congress comes in session, they renew the War Powers Act, which put us in military martial law. So every state has a base. They're ready to operate. What people don't understand, the only thing that's happening is they're actually showing you that you are under martial law. It's not that you aren't. It's the fact that they haven't yet pulled the noose tight, and you don't really realize that it's already in place.
Well, I think what Mitch is saying is a lot of them think that they are starting to pull that noose tight, and they are. I mean, that is...
Well,
go ahead.
Here's why you know you're in a police state, okay? In New Zealand, the police officers in New Zealand do not carry tasers. They do not carry guns. They do not wear sunglasses. They look you straight in the eye. They are very kind. They follow the law, okay? There's a rule of law here still. In the United States, what you're watching, and it scares the heck out of me, Charlie, is the militarization of local police forces. I'm not saying there's not good cops out there, but the amount of people I see beat up by police officers in California or tasered or thrown in the back of cars, I mean, it's pretty scary stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even worse than that is each city now has got a SWAT team. So we've got blacked, robed, hooded enforcement agencies that will come down as soon as a problem gets out of hand, and you never know who it is or how it's happening.
Yeah,
it's
and
right
here's
on top
the
of
other
it.
Point, Richard. What I'm concerned about is something called post-traumatic stress syndrome. Do you realize that you have a minimum of 10% of the entire U.S. population on Zoloft or Prozac or Adderall or some one of these serotonin inhibitors?
Right.
And when people can't get their medication, and with the amount of people that commit suicide on these drugs, with the amount of veterans that are basically being abandoned at hospitals or being treated like cannon fodder, you've now set the stage for something to pop. It's going to pop. It's only a matter of time.
There's no doubt about that. Richard, did you have any final thoughts? We're about a minute away from being done.
Yeah, and you've brought this out on the show, Stockholm Syndrome, the Stanford Prison Experiment. When you combine the two, we've got people looking for authority, and when they get into trouble, they assume they're the victims. They're the ones that are deserving of the punishment. So the whole thing comes together with a whole psychological ploy that implements the martial law that's already in effect.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Richard, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The only thing I did want to share, Charlie, is if everyone will take the time to check out the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and if any of you know anyone who can donate even $5 a month to keep Vinny on the air as his producer, I'd be most appreciative, because he does this show only off donations.
VinnieEastwoodShow.com, is that right?
The VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Why? Because it's the question we want to know on the show.
Wait a minute. It's the lighter side of genocide. I love Vinny Eastwood. I love what he's doing down there. And
thank you.
Yeah, and it's my pleasure to let you announce that. The Vinny Eastwood show. Sorry, I'm going to do that again. The Vinny Eastwood. It's like me recording a commercial. You know, this is the thing. I do the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is the website that you visit if you want to make a donation. They would greatly appreciate it. I was going to say that I record commercials and then these videos, and people say, I can't believe you got that done in one take. It's never one take. I should do an outtake video sometime, because it's freaking hilarious with that kind of language I'm known to not use, and that's why I don't put out an outtake video. Mitch Santel, thank you very much, sir, for joining us. I appreciate it. Keep up the fight. Tell Vinny we said hello. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much, Charlie. I loved being on your show, and I listen all the time.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Guys, please enjoy Jeff Rintz, because he is coming up next. Tomorrow night is the Karen Quinn Tostados, Karen's Corner. All right, guys, we'll see you back live on Monday. Enjoy Jeff Rintz. He's coming up next. Have a good night. Peace.